Tango Tango Papa 2087, December 17, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from home. So, made it home actually early yesterday evening. I guess it was about 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. They had me take the trailer that I had to a place up in Rogers, Arkansas, and drop it. I would have done that last night, but I was running out of hours of service. Didn't have enough hours of service remaining, so I took the trailer up there fairly early this morning, and then bobtailed back home. And of course, the reason they wanted the trailer dropped at this place up in Rogers was so that the trailer just wouldn't be parked the entire time that I'm off for my vacation. And I can understand that. They, you know, try to keep the equipment and employees utilized as much as they possibly can. So I'm doing another experiment, this time with a green screen behind me. And if you actually look at the video, you can see it looks pretty good, except there's a little problem. It would be kind of in the center of the screen. You're going to see a little, you know, I don't know what you'd call that. Imperfection would be one way of saying it. So, and it's probably, there's a hot spot because of the lighting. So I bought this green screen from Amazon, and you know, it's really neat because it's a one piece thing, and it works sort of like Venetian blinds, except it pulls up, and it's got a spring inside, and it the green screen actually rolls up. And then whenever you're done, you just lower the thing back down into the base and close the lid. It rolls it back up, close the lid, and you can put store the thing vertically, you know, in a closet. So that's actually pretty neat. Until a few days ago, I didn't even realize anything like that existed, because the only other green screen I ever messed with was a cheap thing that was folded up. It was a piece of, well, actually, I got it right here. I can show it to you. Hang on. Yeah, let's see if this will even, it won't show up in the video because it's a green screen. But this isn't going to show up. But anyway, well, wait a minute. I bet you I can make it show up. Let's see, if I turn that, okay, so what I want to do is click that, and then click that, and it's still not going to show up. Anyway, it's just a piece of canvas. It's showing up in the video. It shows up as being black. So let me turn that back on. In case you're just listening to the audio, what is the behind me in the green screen right now is actually it's like a bookshelf. It's a picture, kind of a high-resolution picture of a bookshelf. And if it weren't for the, it's probably a hot spot, you know, meaning that it's probably my shadow, I think, that's causing the problem, maybe. You know, and earlier today, it was daylight, and of course, it would be to my left. There's a window, and that was allowing more light in. Then, of course, now it's kind of late in the evening, and so I have an overhead light on, and then, of course, there's light coming from the pretty large computer screen. And then I've also got an additional light, and that may be kind of casting a shadow. It probably is. I don't know. I might try turning that off, and, well, let's just experiment. Why not? See what happens if I turn that off. Nothing. Probably made it a little better. Yeah, made it a little bit, but not much. Didn't affect it. So I knew that I was going to I figured I was going to have a lot more trouble lighting the green screen than I did, because I just kind of unpacked it and opened it up and raised it up and started experimenting with it on the computer. And I actually got pretty good results right away, you know, because if you watch YouTube videos about green screens, they're talking about how problematic they could be, you know, and you've got to get get them lit as evenly as possible. And That's really the problem right here, is that it's just not lit properly. So, but it's working pretty good, pretty well if you watch the video. So anyway, I'm experimenting with this, and so I made a little trip to Best Buy, and I bought something called a Stream Deck. And I didn't buy. They have a kind of. This was sort of like. It's just called a Stream Deck. They have a Stream Deck Lite or Mini or whatever that's just got fewer buttons on it. And then they've got this other one that's Stream Deck XL. And what it does is it has like 32 buttons. And basically what, you know, these are sort of aimed at people that are doing like gaming, streaming type stuff. I've never really gotten much into the streaming thing. And again, the reason I haven't is because of the bandwidth limitations that I've always had. So, you know, I may do more of that in the future, kind of get into it a little bit. So, because I've, you know, but in any case, you can think of this Stream Deck, you plug it into a USB port on your computer, and it's sort of like I don't know if it would show up in the video. Let's see. Maybe it will. If I can get it kind of aimed at the camera. Okay, so yeah, it's showing up pretty well. If I can get it kind of in front of the camera a little bit. It's I've got it in my hand, and it has a screen in there, and you have these programmable buttons, and so you just on the application on the computer, you just drag the various applications that you want, or little apps, or you can think of them really as macros. You can drag them to the appropriate little square on that's represented on the computer program, and then it kind of puts it, you know, an actual icon, like a little video icon in the square buttons. And so there's a total of 15 buttons on this, and I don't have them all programmed yet. But I can see where this could be, a device like this could be quite handy, because it can function as a soundboard, it can launch programs, it can go to websites, it can do all kinds of things, really only limited by your imagination. The other thing I got at Best Buy was this microphone. It's by the way, these are both Elgato products. So this Elgato Stream Deck, and then this microphone's called an Elgato Wave 3. And it's likely not as good as the Heil PR40. You know, I kind of, you know, this is a condenser mic, whereas the Heil PR40 is a dynamic mic. Condenser mics tend to pick up a lot more background noise, so you're probably hearing some computer fans. Whereas the Heil PR40, if you get very far away from it, the sound really drops off. But the Heil PR40's got some serious, you know, it's just a very nice microphone. It sounds pretty good, and it's got some, you know, some decent low-end response, and I'm not really sure what the low-end response of this Elgato is. It's called a Wave 3, and it's a USB microphone that's also an audio. It also is basically an audio mixer as well, so that's because it's USB, so it's really a sound card with a, you know, sort of mixing functionality built into it that is also a USB microphone. And then the other thing I got was this microphone, like an extension arm type thing, and that I've got the microphone mounted on, and that's actually kind of nice to not, you know, because otherwise, you know, that Heil PR40, I always have to hold it. And it's really not designed to be a you know, like a handheld microphone, but it, you know, it will work as that. So, but the problem I've always had is, you know, I had the Heil PR40 as well as the little USB mixer thing that I have. You know, and what I would have to do if, you know, whenever I was home and I wanted to record a podcast, I'd have to go out to the truck and, you know, climb up in there and dig that stuff out and then bring it into the house and then record the podcast. And then, of course, then whenever I would, you know, I would either take it all back out there when I was done with it so I wouldn't forget it, or I would have to remember to, you know, not run off and leave it whenever I'd go back to work, because obviously then I wouldn't be able to, I could probably still record a podcast, but it wouldn't be the same, you know, because I wouldn't have the right equipment. So with this setup, I should be able to just, the idea is, you know, this is just a kind of a spare bedroom that I've had computers set up in, you know, the entire time I've lived in, 26 years I've lived in this house when I got it new. And so that's, you know, I can just leave the thing set up this way with the green screen and, you know, with a kind of a, basically sort of like a little podcasting studio where I can also do some video at. And I, you know, lately I've kind of, like I said, I've kind of been bitten by the video bug a little bit more. And so what I want to do is, you know, kind of continue with it. Now, I'm not really expecting miraculous numbers of views on YouTube. I, you know, that's, you know, that's not going to happen. And I'm not, that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it, I think, well, for one thing, you know, because I'm doing it, the podcast I do for myself, basically, but, you know, it also kind of helps the audience, you know, or if I'm able to help, you know, whoever's listening, then it helps me. And I've talked about that before. And so I just kind of feel motivated to go ahead and kind of get into the video, you know, and really start working with it. And then it's not so much for me, you know, because a lot of people, you know, they'll put up their vacations and this and that, and, you know, kind of who cares about that, you know, unless it's some kind of exotic place or whatever. But, the, you know, I think the better videos are the ones I watch anyway, that I end up watching are the ones that kind of teach me something, you know. And I think that's much more useful, you know. And so that's, I think it'd be useful for me to learn, you know, to sort of hone my skills as far as being able to produce stuff that's actually useful for people, both in terms of audio and video. So, but so anyway, this is kind of fun, and you know, we'll see how it goes. But the computer that I have this hooked to, you know, sometime back, I bought a gaming computer, and it's, I don't know all of the specs of it, you know, but it, the thing is fairly beefy, and it seems to do a pretty good job with video, and it doesn't really seem to get bogged down. And, you know, so it seems to be working fairly well. And the other thing that I got was, you know, that I'd ordered from Amazon was a Logitech Brio. It's called a Brio 4K webcam. And now, in order to use that and utilize the 4K capability, what you have to do is you have to have a USB 3 port. And so I'm not sure how many machines I have that have USB 3 ports, because this gaming machine actually has one or two USB 3 ports. Usually they're blue. I kind of found out. The HP, that four-year-old HP all-in-one that I have in the other room, 27-inch, it actually has one USB 3 port, and one or both of, probably at least the newer, you know, that Surface Pro 7 that I have, it probably has a USB 3 port. I don't know. And I'm not sure about, you know, I still have the Surface Pro 3, and I'm not sure what it has as far as USB. Is probably USB 2. But the Surface Pro 7 probably has a USB 3, but I don't know. So anyway, you know, I'm experimenting with this, and will continue to experiment with it while I'm home, because I can. So anyway, I've got a response file from Joel here. And he had listened partway through, you know, because in the last podcast I was talking about the labor shortage. And the main gist of my theory, which I didn't get to till the end, was that the reason we're experiencing labor shortage, it just didn't happen overnight, like a lot of people think. It was revealed after the baby boomers, you know, a lot of them have retired, and you've got people that just, you know, aren't going back to work or whatever, for whatever reason. But the big problem, I believe, was that, you know, years and years and years of all these abortions, you know, there's probably 40 million of them that would be alive today. 40 million people would be alive. Can you imagine 40 million people just wiped out? What kind of a difference would 40 million people make to the United States of America? Now, worldwide, I heard a statistic, 40 million babies have been aborted worldwide since January of 2021. 40 million. And that's just this year, but that's worldwide. That's just insane, you know. So, but, you know, it's like I said, hope the living or the people, especially the people that aborted, and then now they're bitching. I hope they enjoyed their convenience, because that's what they always say. Well, I don't want to burden myself with a baby, you know, with this inconvenient byproduct of sex, this non-viable tissue mass. I don't want to, it wouldn't be fair to the baby, you know, so we'll just kill it so that it doesn't have to go through unfairness. And we'll just kill it because I don't want to, you know, kind of have to deal with the fact that I'm pregnant. You know, so. You know, and they always use the excuse, well, you know, I want to get a job, and I don't want my future ruined by a child. You know, I'm living in poverty. Well, whatever. Hope you enjoyed the time that you had, because it's gone now. And I don't see it returning to what it once was. So, oh well. I will adapt to whatever I have to adapt to. That's easy. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and start playing Joel's file here. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Tom Logwin here. Listening to your latest... Oh, excuse me, I had to stretch. You're talking about the labor shortage. I know you're probably going to go into some of the things there. I'm going to talk about this a little bit. I think some of that... Some of what you're saying, and I'm not all the way through that subject yet, so bear with me. But some of that I agree with. I do agree there's a lot of people who are tired. I know for a fact, at least in my industry, with the colleges, that's kind of why I have a job. It's that there's people at these colleges that we host their software for that have retired, and they don't know how to do what they're doing anymore. So, like, for example, right now, one of the things I'm doing, and finally getting to it, because things have been quiet this week, thankfully, is going through a list of jobs that they are running on a daily basis in their, what they call, in Linux, it's called cron, or in Windows, it's called the task scheduler. So essentially batch jobs that do things. And I'm going through to see what each one does. In this case, I'm not sure that the client I'm working with actually doesn't know what's going on or what, but I know that what, some of the things that they're doing is a little overkill. But beyond that point, I have to get back to where we're going with this here. I definitely think that's part of the problem. I think another part of the problem, too, is especially in the restaurant areas, has been... kids these days seem to be doing a whole lot more. There was always that kid when I was in high school that did 4 or 5 sports and played concert band and did this or that. These overachievers. But now it seems to be more and more all the kids are doing that, or trying to anyway. And, like, when I was in school, all I did was band. I didn't do sports. I didn't care for sports. Still don't. And that's what I did. You know, that was my both an educational and a intramural activity or whatever, you know. Because we did things after, you know, during times that aren't school time, you know, like playing football games and, you know, marching parades and crap like that. So, of course, we did that. But it was an educational thing, too, and I was learning how to play music and learning how to love music. So I loved playing my saxophone when I did. Nowadays, though, they're doing. Everyone's being this overachiever. They're doing sports. They're doing this. They're doing that. And then in some cases outside of school, they're also bringing things like baseball travel leagues and crappity crap like that. So we have this local Facebook group that is pretty much just for people who live in this area or are moving to this area, or people that have lived in this area. And someone says, well, that even their kids can't get a job because they're not willing to accommodate their kids traveling. And I'm like, I'm sorry. That's how life works. Burger King, McDonald's, Taco Bell, KFC, whoever, they care about running the business. They're not going to bend over and hire someone who's going to be out every other day because of sports. You know, so, you know, and that's it, you know, and most of them too, they're, you know, consider you're looking at high school until you're a certain age, you can't work over at, like, I think it's going to vary depending on the state, but you can't, sometimes, depending on, like, how old you are, you can't work over 20 hours a week, or you can't work over 30 hours or something like that. In either case, it's you're usually looking at you know, a very limited amount of time they need to work at all. Now, in the period of time when I got a job, I was lucky to get 16 hours. Nowadays, they probably want someone, whoever they hire, because they're so short-handed, they're going to have to be able to work weekends, Fridays, and an hour or so every once in a while during the week as well, after school, and before a certain time at night. Like, like Ohio, if you were 14, you had to be sent home by 9 o'clock, so you couldn't work past 9 o'clock or something like that. So, you know, and I'm sorry. Businesses care about business. They don't care about all of your personal life. You know, it is, you know, quite a bit different than when you get your first full-time job. But that's why you have things called vacation days. Like, I'm taking vacation next week for the holiday so I can go visit my dad. All right? That's when, you know, that's when I'm going to do that and extra things. And drive my new car on a long trip for the first time. but anyway, so that's a huge part of this, especially in the restaurant business. And the left has this weird thing that there are people working in these restaurants that are doing it to feed their families and pay for their homes and stuff like that. To a point, maybe. But, you know, I think that's more of once you get out of the hourly shift things. Like, once you become a shift manager, or once you become an assistant store manager or something like that. Though in those cases, you might be working to pay things in your family, but you're not making less than you're not making $15 an hour or less when you get to that point. You're making more. I should know. My brother, when he had come out here to go to college and then eventually stopped going to college and just threw himself at his work, became shift manager, then an assistant store manager for a local franchisee of McDonald's, okay? And, yeah, he was raising a family and working there for keeping, you know, his young family at the time fed in an apartment and stuff like that. But when he lived up here, too, he didn't live in his own apartment. He was actually living in my mother-in-law's apartment, or his mother-in-law's apartment, I should say, not mine, with his wife and his daughter at the time. Now he has a daughter and two daughters and a son, and they're both all grown. But he didn't stay there to work there forever. When he moved down to live closer to my mom and dad, he ended up doing the same thing. He's working as store manager, assistant store manager for one of the McDonald's chains down there. And he was doing that. And then at one point something happened. They blamed him. They didn't accuse him. You know, they didn't send him the court or nothing, but they fired him. All right. The McDonald's chains did. So then he went to go work for Chick-fil-A. And then since then, he's worked for Rubbermaid. Then he worked for another plant down in Tennessee that did the store displays, made the cardboard stuff for the store displays. And then he went back to Rubbermaid. I think he's at Rubbermaid again now. So, and what he does there is he actually, I think he's like a shift manager there or something now. When he first started, he was actually online making Sharpies. And they do make some things here in the States. A lot of people think nothing's made in the United States anymore. Well, no, Rubbermaid makes the Sharpies in Tennessee. That I know. But, so in his case, you know, he's a little younger than me, like a year or two. I'm 50 now. In his case, he was never for want with labor or anything when he worked for the fast food restaurants. But the left seems to think that you're going to work for life for a store. And that's just not the case, you know. So what I think is happening, another thing that's truly happened, is when all the restaurants were closed during the pandemic, the people who couldn't get regular work at their normal workplace went and found another job so that they can take care of their family, or that they so that they can eat. and they went, what they ended up doing is they went out and got a better job. Doesn't have as crappy hours. You don't have to deal with the customers as much. All right? And then when the store would call them back and say, hey, you want to come back? We need you. They're like, no thanks, I got a better job. You know, so in every one of those cases, I think that's truly it. So beyond that, though, I think there's also the supply shortages. I know there were, I don't know, you probably never did, but I know there were truckers who have parked their trucks because of some of the vaccine mandates in some states. Same thing with dock workers and stuff like that. So a lot of the supply chains are broke as well. Although not as bad as the president would have you think. Generally, I have been able to find, like at the beginning of the holiday season, I haven't finished my shopping yet. I've got some more things to do. But I have been able to find pretty much everything I wanted. I've ordered stuff on Amazon and got it within a day. Right now I ordered a whole bunch of stuff for my son's present this year. And it's all coming to us, and we should have it all before December 25th and even before I leave. So, but in any event, I think things are not as bad as some people think. I do agree that the shortage is real. And I think there's stuff that can happen to make it better. I don't blame it fully on, there's people that says that they have to be sitting and collecting government money. I don't think that's happening anymore. A lot of people just have wrong ideas with this stuff. So sorry to leave you a 12-minute message, but oh well.
All right. Well, thank you, Joel. Yeah. So, points taken. I think that all of the things you said were valid, but I do believe that all of these baby boomers were working. And it was like I described in the last podcast, you know, it's kind of like a big bulge, a giant bulge moving through the system. sort of like when I, you know, some certain snakes, when they eat, you know, you can see this bulge and it starts moving through the snake as it goes through the snake's digestive system, and it usually, you know, and then it dissolves and kind of goes away. But so this bulge went through the system, and it was towards the end, and now you've got, you know, that caused millions of baby boomers to retire, which I'm one of them, but I'm not going to retire yet. I like spending money. you know, so a bunch of them retired, and I think people, you know, they were freaked out by the virus or whatever. And then, you know, and then a bunch of them were just retiring anyway, and they're continuing to retire. Now, you have a certain, there's a tiny percentage of people, I thought it would be bigger than this, but I don't know, I was reading some article, and they were saying that only 3% of people unretire. You know, so only 3% of people will actually unretire, which that leaves 97%. Once they retire, they stay retired, apparently. So, but I think that all of these baby boomers, for whatever reason, you know, leaving the workplace, marketplace, have kind of uncovered the problem that was already there, that was already brewing, namely the millions and millions and millions of abortions that have happened over the years. Since, you know, it was legalized everywhere in the U.S., all states, in 1973. Now, prior to that, it was actually legal in some states, but not others. But, of course, the people pushing it wanted it to be legal everywhere because, you know, people have this idea, and, you know, it applies to all of us. You know, if we have some sin that we like to hold on to, we kind of like whatever our sin is, we want that sin to be legal, you know. And not only do we want it to be legal, but we want it to be approved and, you know, sanctioned, maybe even promoted, you know, to try to get rid of the guilt, get rid of the guilt problem. And but then the problem is it's a bottomless pit. You know, it's never enough. So, you know, it's you always have to have more and more and more to try to eliminate the, you know, the guilt problem. So, but in any case, you know, reality has a way of kind of hitting you in the rear end sometimes, and you don't get away with things. You know, I really believe that you don't get away with anything, actually. You know, and I know some people think, well, yeah, you do, you can get away with things, but, you know, I think in the end you don't. You really don't. So, you know. But anyway, you know, that's... you know, you'll just, you know, these different businesses are just having to deal with whatever the problem is. Now, see, the interesting thing is there were places, a lot of industrial-type places did not shut down. So when I was driving, well, when I drove up to Rogers, I had to drive by some pretty good-sized plants that had been there for years. One of them is Beekert or Beckert, and I'm not even sure what they produce there, but that plant is a pretty good-sized place, and it's been there for a long time. And they've got help wanted signs now. I don't think they shut down their production for the virus. I don't believe they shut down, and yet here they are. Why do they have help wanted signs? You know, because they didn't shut down the production. So why are they wanting help? They didn't let people go. Probably because the people that they had working there, the baby boomers, are probably retiring. You know, and I see other places that are similar to that that you would never see, you know, prior to this, you would never see them or hardly ever see a help wanted sign in some of these places. And then now all of a sudden, they're everywhere, all over the place, and they're having a terrible time trying to recruit people that can, you know, that can actually do the job. So, but that also benefits me because it, you know, and like in my case, it tends to drive the wages up. And, you know, there's been some tremendous upward pressure on my income for, you know, I'd say especially the last year. And, but in the meantime, I'm going to continue working. So anyway, I happen to remember that I have a screen capture of a website. This is actually the green screen. And I don't know, it's kind of squirrely the way that they've set this thing up. I don't know, I guess the customer, if you're selling things on Amazon, you probably have control over how the thing is. But see, it says on the left, it says, because you have the picture of the green screen itself. And then to the right of that, sort of the lower right corner of the green screen picture there, it says 61 by 72.5 inches, and it's 139, whatever, 55. 99 rather. Now see, I got it for 111 because the day I bought it, they had it on sale. You know, they dropped the price down, so I got it for like 111. But then to the right of that, it says 5 foot by 6.5 feet, blue green, and it's 49.99. Well, those are the same sizes. One of them is in inches, and the other one's in feet. Now, you know, so I don't quite understand what they're talking about there. But in fact, I did get the bigger one and got it for about $111, and I'm very happy with it. Very, very happy with it. I'm going to have lots of use out of this thing. So, anyway, let's go back to the. There I am. So, yep. So I'm going to have to be, you know, manipulating this and see if I can get some, you know, I'll experiment with more lights. And, of course, I can, you know, this background is just a picture. So I can, you know, I've already, you know, kind of come up with a bunch of different types of images. You know, like space images and, you know, like Hubble images, and there's all kinds of, you know, like cityscapes. There's tons of different interesting backgrounds that you can come up with. And then plus, you know, I found this particular picture on the internet. But there's tons of, you know, I could take a bunch of the pictures, my own pictures as well, and stick on here. So kind of fun. Actually. So anyway, I think I'm going to bring this to a close, and so we'll see how this works. I'm using it's a free software. It's called OBS Studio, or Open Broadcaster Software, Open Broadcaster Studio. Like I say, it's a free software, and they want you to donate to it, which I may do because it's kind of a neat program. And it, you know, periodically they updated it. I did know that it existed prior to this, but I never really messed with it. It's got a lot of features, and I'm gonna just have to. Over time, as I use it, I'm going to just have to kind of dig into it and figure out how it works. And because there's what I was hoping that it would be able to record, see, because I'm doing this all in real time. Normally when I record the podcast on a Windows machine, you know, using a really old software, Adobe Edition 1.5, which that's like more than, it's probably 15 years old or more. But it still works. And, you know, but I do it kind of manually, you know, so I'll record a file, you know, each one of the audio files, and then I sort of assemble it. Well, in this case, it's all, you know, this is all happening in real time. You know, so I'm, you know, whenever I play the outro, I don't think I got I just realized now I didn't put all the files in there. Oh, well. But I can add, I'll edit those in. All of the outro stuff won't be in the video, but, you know, the main thing will be in there, but I got distracted and I didn't get all of the audio files kind of punched in there into this, Stream Deck. But, now I forgot what I was talking about. So anyhow, probably better bring this to a close. And oh, I know what I was going to talk about. There probably is a way of, I don't know if there's a way of, you know, because it is recording a video, like an MKV file, or I think that's what it was. That this makes MKV, you know, and it can do different types of files, but I don't know if it has the capability of doing a separate MP3 file or not, because otherwise I'll have to split the MP3 file off specifically for the podcast, which I can do that. That's not that big of a problem, but you know, I will have to make an MP3 file out of the M4, what is it, M4V or MKV, I'm not sure what kind of file it was producing. It's a video, one of the video formats. So it would be nice if it would also split off just a plain audio MP3 file, but I don't know that it does that or not. I couldn't, you know, I was digging around in the settings, and I never did see that, but it may well do it, and I just didn't, you know, haven't found the capability yet. So, but like I say, I can still split that off. That's know how to do that, so I can do that. So anyway, hope everyone has had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend coming up, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.